You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Ewan Murray.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Adrian Otegi tastes European Tour success for the second time with victory at the inaugural Belgian knockout.
Very happy with the way I played. Started with a bogey on the first, but after that started making birdies and I felt great. Held some putts, so yeah, very happy with the match.
The Spaniard traded blows with Benjamin Hébert in the final, but the Frenchman ultimately had to settle for second place.
Adrian is a very good player, especially I think in this kind of format. I did my best, was a bit tired for the final, but yeah, I mean, there is a lot of positive things to learn about this week, and that's good.
We'll review the best of the action and also look ahead to the first Rolex Series event of the year, the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and today I'm joined by Doyen of the Airwaves, Ewan Murray. Good to see you, Ewan. How are you?
Yeah, it's good to be back. I'm in top form.
Yeah, and a top event, you know, a brand new tournament, brand new golf course. Nobody quite sure what they were going to get, and it turned out to be a real success.
A success in every way. I thought the golf course was outstanding. I thought it was brilliantly supported by the Belgian fans, who've been a little starter of top quality golf over the course of the last few months. And all in all, it was a great success.
And probably, if you look at how consistent he's been over the season, Otegi being the winner, no real surprise.
Not really. Six times in the top 20 in his last half a dozen events. That's tremendous. And if he can continue that form, he can go wherever he wants.
So let's talk you through the format, because it was very different. It was hosted by the home favourite Thomas Peters, and the opening two rounds were stroke play. Normal stroke play, actually, over 36 holes. Then after 36 holes, players were seeded from 1 to 64, based primarily on their position on the leaderboard. The 64 players were split into two groups of 32, with one half playing the front nine and the other half playing the back nine.
Yes, it was different because the losing player in each match was immediately eliminated, the winner continuing to the next round, which left us with three rounds of nine-hole medal match play games. They were played on Saturday. That was the round of 64, 32, and then we were into the final 16.
Then on Sunday, the quarters, semis and the final were played over the back nine, so the last nine holes, to find the winner of any given match. And each nine-hole match was played in, as Ewan said, a medal play, stroke play format. The winner with the lowest score after nine holes won the match. It was quite simple. Did you like it, Ewan?
I did. This was for me. I thought this was pacey. I thought it was very well thought out. And always when you've had a tournament on for the first time, you think, well, maybe we should do that. I think they should leave it as it is. It worked perfectly.
And Jorge Campillo in the stroke play qualifying element over the first 2 days, if you like, was the top qualifier. He continues to play well week in, week out.
Surely does. He's just got to find that next level now. He's got a level I would say is comfortable for him. He's now got to just stretch himself a bit forward and climb a little higher.
And Friday night had its drama because they had to cut it down to 64 exactly. There was 11 players for eight spots, and it was Junik, Fox and Shinquin who lost out. And then, of course, everybody turned up on Saturday morning, Ewan, to watch Thomas Peters. Big Belgian crowd, he's the host, and he went out in that first knockout stage.
Well, that's what happens when it's one against one, isn't it? And I think when that happened, they thought, well, Nicholas Coulsarts will take the baton over and he'll make it through right to the very end of Sunday. But that didn't happen either.
And the same story for Detri. He went out in the first knockout round on Saturday morning. Quite amazing. But you're right about Nicholas Coulsarts. He made it through to the last day, to Sunday, which were the quarterfinals alongside James Heath, Mike Lorenzo Vera, Benjamin Hébert, Victor Perez, David Drysdale, Jorge Campillo and Adrian Otegi. So in the quarterfinals, James Heath knocked out Nicholas Coulsarts. Massive crowd going around with that one. And James pipped him by one shot. In fact, Coulsarts, a two under par, would have beaten every other player in that section of the draw. Unlucky, but well played. But the Belgian was full of praise for the event.
It's been great. I mean, from people that have came and watched to the Peters family for organizing. I mean, all I heard, not only from my part, but from people, that everything was perfectly run. I was a bit curious to see what it was going to be like, but I think for a first try, I'll give them 9 out of 10.
You know, Belgium are lucky, really, because they've got three fantastic players in Detri, Thomas Peters and Nicholas Coulsarts. And that's something to build a country's awareness of the game on, three guys like that.
Surely it's a very solid foundation on which to build. And of course, there's been some great players in the past from there as well. Flory van Dongk, And if you look at the beaten finalists, Benjamin Hébert, one of the last events he won as an amateur was in Belgium for the Flory van Dunk trophy. So I wasn't surprised to see him going pretty well at this stage.
How do you do all that stuff? How did you come up with that?
I don't sleep well.
You don't sleep well at all? I don't think you sleep at all. Unbelievable. Benjamin Hébert beat fellow Frenchman Mike Lorenzo Vera in an all-French affair by a single stroke. Adrian Otegi knocked out his countryman Jorge Campillo by two shots. David Drysdale beat Frenchman Victor Perez, and they had to go extra holes to get that done. So the semi-finals were set. It was Otegi against David Drysdale, which the Spaniard won with a three-birdie finish, and Hébert beat James Heath by one shot. So we knew the final then, and of course there's a question of the third, fourth place as well for David Drysdale and James Heath. Lots to play for.
Definitely, especially when you're someone like David Drysdale, who down the years has struggled. He's always left it to the end of the year to secure his card. That changed last year with the introduction of the Rolex series. He had a very fine performance in Ireland. And the one I was thrilled for at this stage was James Heath, who's had a pretty tough season so far.
Yeah, it's been a really tough season. So very good news for David Drysdale and very good news for James Heath. Delighted to see them both playing well this week. So the final was Otegi versus Hébert. It was Spain versus France. It was Otegi that got off to a slow start, but then he did what he did. He came on really strong at the end and just made too many birdies for Benjamin to get back at him. And Otegi edged it and won his second European Tour victory. And I'm very pleased to say that the Belgian knockout king joins us now on the line on the Race to Dubai show. Adrian, you must be feeling pretty good about things.
Yeah, thanks very much. Yeah, obviously very, very happy with the win yesterday. I mean, I think I played really well the whole week. I competed well, have a lot of fun, and happily won yesterday in the final.
Do you know if the entire tour were knockout tournaments, you'd be the world number one?
Well, there are also some other kind of tournaments as well in the Race to Dubai. But yeah, I love one against one matches. Also love just normal stroke play games. Obviously, I feel very comfortable playing one against one, but actually this week I tried to focus a lot on my game, only on my game, because it was still a stroke play and every shot still counted. So I just tried to focus on things that depending straight on me, and I just played really well all week.
Away from the euphoria, Adrian, we go back to Fuenterrabia, San Sebastian, your mentor, Jose Maria Olazabal, won the British Boys in 1983. You won it at Kilmarnock Morassi a few years ago, 2010. How important has Jose Maria been to you in your career, on the course and off it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Jose Maria has been very, very important to me. I know him since I was like 4 or 5 years old. I met him for the first time, and I was very lucky to be able to practice with him when I was a teenager in Hossegor area, French area, San Sebastian. He's been important to me, giving me very, very nice and very important advices on the course, also off the course. So, yeah, I think I've been a lucky kid in that way.
You know, you mentioned Jose Maria Olazabal, yourself and Ewan, and something has just struck me, that Jose Maria did something that nobody else ever did when they play golf, and that is have a practice swing at double full speed, the full thrash with a practice swing. You did the same thing.
Well, I don't know. To be honest, I didn't learn that from Jose Maria.
Ah, I wondered.
But I mean, it's something I use for the preparation of the shot. I think that's a very personal thing. I'm not saying it works for everybody. It maybe not doesn't work either at every moment of the career. But I'm just trying to be decided on every single shot, especially from the tee. And that works for me, and that's my pre-shot routine. I know Greg Norman used to do it as well, and I don't know, it just works for me, and I enjoy it as well.
Okay, playing in Belgium on a new golf course with that new format, do you think it's got a future? Did you like how it felt and what the feedback was from the other players that you played with alongside during the week?
I think it was good. I mean, I think the feedback from all the players was very good. Obviously, I want to thank Thomas Peters and all his family for the tournament. Peters Productions. I think they did a great effort. Obviously, a new format of tournament. It wasn't match play. I mean, some people say, "Oh no, it wasn't match play at all," because every shot was still counting. As I said, I tried to focus on my game. Obviously, the opponent was just next to you playing, but I just tried to do the best I could every time. And I think it's a very exciting format, because it's like playing the last nine holes of a tournament, but every single match. So anyone can win, but you still have to be very, very focused on every single shot.
Adrian, you keep that full practice swing going. I remember playing with Severiano Ballesteros, and I used to have just a flicky practice swing. He says, why you do that? He says, you're not going to do that when the ball's there. So it's obviously a system that works. You're up to 14th in the Race to Dubai, and now inside the world's top 100. So what's the next step?
Well, I mean, the season has just started, really. All the big tournaments are coming in the next couple of months with the Rolex Series. And I just want to focus on that, go step by step. Obviously, Wentworth this week. I love this course. I love this tournament. I'm very excited to be here. And just want to go, keep going step by step, keep growing in the world ranking, keep growing in the Race to Dubai. And hopefully it's going to be a very exciting year.
I know you're probably not thinking about it right now, but is there a little space in the back of your mind that thinks, you know, you're obviously very good at man versus man. If you had a good run through the Rolex Series, you could get yourself into contention for a Ryder Cup spot.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the man who's going to play well in the next couple of months with all those Rolex Series, as I say, and all the majors, the man who's going to play well in the next couple of months, he's going to have a lot of chances to be on top of the ranking in the Race to Dubai and in the European Tour team for the Ryder Cup. So I just want to keep focus on that. Obviously, the Ryder Cup is there, and obviously it's obviously possible, but there's so many candidates for the moment.
Well, Adrian, you just keep doing what you're doing. Obviously, you're in a really good place, and with all these big tournaments coming, they're on the doorstep. You never know what could happen. Wish you every success at the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. I'm looking forward to seeing your progress over the next, well, couple of months. That might decide it.
Yeah, thanks very much. I hope everybody will come to watch the BMW PGA Championship this week, and we'll have a lot of fun.
Yes, I'll be there. I look forward to watching your progress over that West Coast. It should be a wonderful week. And once again, congratulations.
Thanks very much. Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, Adrian's in a really good place, and he heads into Wentworth in tip-top form. As you say, Ewan, it'll be fun watching him this week, see if he gets back to normal 72-hole stroke play. Well, it was his second win in 19 appearances following his Saltire Energy Paul Laurie match play victory last August. He becomes the first Spanish winner of a Belgian tournament since Miguel Angel Jimenez won the Belgian Open in 1992. And he becomes the second Spanish winner on the 2018 Race to Dubai, 5 weeks after Jon Rahm claimed the Open de España in Madrid. Things are looking good for the Spanish players, but do you know what? You heard the words of Adrian there. There is a space for him thinking that if he had a really good run, he could make the Ryder Cup side. He didn't blank it, did he?
No, and now's the time to do it, because the Rolex Series gets underway this week with the BMW, and it's followed very quickly with the second Rolex Series event in Italy. And it's not long then before you go to France, Ireland, Scotland, another three Rolex event, and then the Open Championship. If you're looking for a time in the year to play well, this is not a bad time.
No, and I'd love to have Otegi as a partner. I mean, you can have the birdies he makes, either four ball or foursomes. He'd be right in there. I'd be very happy with him.
Maybe so, but he doesn't want you as
a partner. No, he definitely doesn't want me. It's well spotted from you. He does not. Adrian, if you're listening, I'm not available, all right? I'm just going to save your career with that one. Let's hear from the runner-up, Benjamin Hébert, whose wait for a maiden European title goes on.
Just a bit short. Adrian is a very good player, especially, I think, in this kind of format. He already won one tournament in match play last year, so... But I did my best. Was a bit tired for the final, but... Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of positive things to learn about this week, and that's good.
You know, last week my studio, Ewan, was right on the putting green, and Gregory Avray and a lot of the French boys, Pavon, they were practice putting on there. So I was watching that. They were playing games, trying to beat each other at putting. And when Michael Renzo Vera went out, I said to Avray, I said, allez les bleus, no more allez les bleus. And he said, no, we have Benjamin Hébert, not so fast, Robert, not so fast. So they got a great team feeding the French. They've got a lot of players now out in the European Tour, and they've got a really good vibe going.
Yes, a strong family, and of course, as each and every one of them do well throughout the season, it raises the expectations, I think, for those around them. And the Ryder Cup in France this year, things are looking good for them.
Yeah, they are. Third and fourth place playoff, of course, was David Drysdale. He finished third after beating Englishman James Heath by one shot in that playoff. There's not only pride to go along with that, there's some significant money, which is important as well, considering the seasons they've had.
Very poor season for James. David, of course, is now a very experienced tournament professional, but any professional wants to get as much money on the board, as many points on the board, especially in a Ryder Cup year, if you're able to qualify for that. And, of course, the race to Dubai now, the top 60, the riches that go with that. And there was €12,000 between third and fourth, and eventually it went to Drysdale, but a very good week for James Heath.
Yes, it was. And Swede, Pontus Wiedergren, became the first player since Miguel Angel Jimenez, more on him shortly, in 2015, to make a hole-in-one in consecutive weeks. His effort at the 15th was coincidentally the same hole he aced at last week's Rocco Forte Sicilian Open. Two holes-in-ones in 2 weeks running.
It's very good for the putting stats.
Well, it's very good for the putting stats. I wouldn't know what that feeling's like, Ewan, of course, as you well know. Never had a hole-in-one.
There's still time. You've still got 1 or 2 years left at the very top.
Well, I'm about to get a new set of irons, I think. I think once they come in, I'll be going rogue, as they say, Ewan. I'll be going rogue. Now, a reminder of the top eight from the Belgian knockout, please, Ewan.
Because it was the knockout formula, we go to the quarterfinals, and they would be tied fifth as far as the end of the season is concerned. And tied fifth was Campillo, Perez, Kolsarts and Michael Lorenzo Vera. Then we went into the semis, and in fourth place it will be James Heath, who lost that playoff to David Drysdale, and Benjamin Hébert, second to Adrian Ortegui. And I really am looking forward to see the progress of last week's winner.
And, of course, the speed of the practice swing.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes, that will not pass me by at Wentworth.
Your
sure.
Hawkeyes, because I know how fond you are of Chema, of Jose Maria Olazabal. I know how fond you are of him, and you'll see a likeness when you see the swish that Ortegui gives it. I'm looking forward to your comments on that one. And finally, on the Belgian knockout, the tournament host Thomas Peters said on his Twitter account, "Thanks to all who helped make the Belgian knockout a success. Hope you all enjoyed it. It was an honour to help bring the European Tour back to Belgium, and not before time, Ewan."
No, I remember playing in the Belgian Open. Gavin Levinson won back in 1979, and Gavin went on to win again. 12 years, the gap between his first victory and the second. And it was always well supported. We've visited some beautiful clubs like Royal Waterloo, Knocklezout, another wonderful creation over there by the coastline. And the thing that impressed me more than anything else last week was the spectators and the way in the final they were allowed to follow. I'm not saying I would like to see that every week, but somehow it fitted with a new event.
Yeah, and with the final, it was great. Behind the ropes, walking up the fair, brilliant. It was brilliant. Yeah, it looked superb. And well done, the Belgian golf fans as well. That was a spectacle. Now, in last week's predictions, we have a new system this year. It's presenter versus co-presenter head-to-head. Two picks each every week. One has to be from outside the top 50 in last year's Race to Dubai, and one can be whoever you want. So you get 20 points for a winner, 10 for a top 5, 5 for top 20, and minus 5 for a missed cut. So I went for Thomas Peters, who got through to the knockout stage but lost in the first round. He didn't get any points. And I went for Adrian Ortegui, who won, gave me 20 points. John Hawksworth, in your absence, Ewan, went for Thomas Detry, last 64, 0 points. And Jamie Donaldson, who missed the cut. So minus 5 points to my plus 20 means we're on 125 in the presenter's chair and you're on 20 in the co-presenter's chair. You have big boots to fill this week.
Yes, not me personally.
You're taking no credit for the lack of skill for the other people that sit in your chair.
Well, I must say, that was a bold call from you last week. I mean, Thomas Peters, who would have ever picked Thomas Peters?
Well, in fact, he was so busy, I knew it would be a tough week for him, but I still felt, I told you, I did a Callaway day, I saw him make two swings, and I thought, that'll do for me. He's not far away, and he may feature towards the end of the show.
Adrian, top 20 last six events.
Yeah.
Another one that doesn't really surprise me that you actually picked him. So. Well,
once again, it's so easy, I look forward to you picking the winner at the BMW PGA.
That shouldn't be a problem.
Well, in the fancy Race to Dubai game, Thomas Sandstrom remains top of the overall global standings, while Oliver Matos got the most points last week. No change at the top of the Race to Dubai show listeners and presenters league either, where Chris Cole still leads the way, but I'm in second spot. Fellow listener Kevin Anderson, who got the most points from the Belgian knockout. Ewan, top 10, please, in the race to the Dubai standings.
Well, it's all a bit strange this time of the year because one or two players have been playing in the United States, but of course this is really where the European Tour begins to gather momentum. In 10th place, the highly talented Australian Cameron Smith. It's been a really good start to the year for him. And we were talking about the importance of the Rolex Series. Alexander Bjork did well in France last year. That was the platform for him to go ahead and become a winner this year. He's in 9th, and just ahead of him is Alexander Levy, Tyrrell Hatton in 7th, and Rory McIlroy in 6th. Into the top five, and a truly international top five it is too. John Rahm, Kiridesh Appibhanrat is at 4. Tommy Fleetwood, last year's number one, is up there at number 3, and just ahead of him, Shubhankar Sharma. But the man out in front as we move into spring in this beautiful time of the year is the Masters champion, Patrick Reed.
That's a top 10. That's what I call a top 10. Now, what about the Ryder Cup rankings?
Two tables, of course, the European points. And if things stop right now, off that European points list would be Tyrrell Hatton, Justin Rose, John Rahm and Ross Fisher, who had such a strong period towards the end of last year. Off the world points, it would be McIlroy, Fleetwood, Garcia and the defending champion at the BMW this week, Alex Norton. Now, that's not a bad eight. And when you think just tucked in behind them is the likes of Ian Poulter. He's moved up to 8th in the world's points list. And Paul Casey, who plays at Wentworth for the first time in 5 years this week, Paul is inside the top 10 of that world points list.
What do you think is the lowest position that Ian Poulter could be in and get a pick?
Now, that's a very good question. And I think, honestly, a lot would depend on his form at that time. Poulter's played very well over the course of the last 2 or 3 months. His win in Houston was just magnificent, the manner in which he won it. I think Poulter could finish a long way down the list. I won't put a number on it,
right?
But a long way down the list, because you're now talking about not someone who's done it before. He's done it so often. He's one of the experienced players. And I think a lot will be determined by who actually makes the team, how many first-timers. And if there's 3 or 4 of them, I think you'll probably find that Poulter will be top of the wildcard list.
It's going to be a fascinating watch, that is for sure. If he's there or thereabouts, you would think he will get a call, but we shall see. Now, in other news, there was also a change of format on the Challenge Tour. The Andalucía Costa del Sol Match Play 9 was won by Scotland's Liam Johnston in an all-Scottish final, Grant Forrest losing out, and it was the first win at the Valeramana Golf Club for Liam Johnston. Well done to him. And continuing the Spanish theme, it's hearty congratulations to Miguel Angel Jimenez. He doesn't go away, does he? After the 54-year-old won the region's tradition, his first PGA Tour Champions major title, Jimenez closing 2 under par 70, handed him a 3-shot win. And on the PGA Tour, rising star Aaron Wise, what a good player he is, took the AT&T Byron Nelson following a 3-shot win over Australia's Mark Leishman. It's the 21-year-old's maiden tour title in just his 26th start. 21, they're ready when they come out now, Ewan. They don't have to incubate for a few years. They come out and go bang.
I was just thinking that on the way in today. Tiger Woods changed all that.
Yeah, he did.
By the time Tiger decided he was not going to continue in college, he felt he was ready to go out there, and he's raised the bar. Nowadays, these youngsters come on, as you say, this is just a 21-year-old. He's actually from South Africa. He was born down in Cape Town, but he's now based in California. He's got that first one. He's bought himself some time now. He can organise his own schedules, and he's just one of many youngsters who are showing their very best at such a young age.
Yeah, it's quite incredible. OK, you in top 10 in the world, please.
Just outside the top 10 this week is Brooks Koepka, who will defend his US Open Championship very shortly, and last year's European number one, Tommy Fleetwood. Inside it, at 10, is Paul Casey, after an excellent start to the season stateside. Matsuyama's back after injury. He's in 9th. McIlroy just ahead of him. And Jason Day and Ricky Fowler are just outside the top 5. That top 5 reads Justin Rose at 5, Rahm at 4, Spieth at 3. Dustin Johnson has been removed after 64 weeks at world number 1. And he's been removed by Justin Thomas. And well done, Justin Thomas. And I think that makes very good reading.
5 names beginning with J in the top 7 in the world. It's amazing.
I don't know where you get that stuff. You can't sleep either.
Justin, Jason, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And speaking of the world number one, Justin Thomas, beginning with J, has confirmed he'll be making his debut appearance at the HNA Open de France, the 3rd of the 8 Rolex Series events on the European Tour's Race to Dubai in 2018. And I wouldn't be surprised, with the Ryder Cup coming up, Ewan, if a few more didn't come across the pond to play in that?
They'd be very foolish not to, because it's a wonderful chance to play what is a great golf course, and one I do think you need to play a few times to get the hang of it. Him and his teammates should be over for that week. It's magnificent prize money. You're up there at €7 million minimum for the French Open. It's one of the oldest championships we have on the European Tour, and that golf course will be beautifully prepared for what will be another fine edition of the French Open.
If I was a top American player, Ryder Cup bound, there or thereabouts, I would come over and play French and then week off Scottish Open.
Or French week off Irish.
Or French-Irish week off Open.
Yes,
yes.
Whichever way you want to
go.
Because some players like to play before a major, players don't. But they have the opportunity there to stay in the right time zone.
Yeah.
They have the opportunity to practice on the Ryder Cup course. And they also, whether they play in Ireland or Scotland, up at Ballyliffin or Gallen, they have a chance to get the games ready for the Lynx test at Carnoustie.
Yeah, fantastic opportunity. We'll see. And that's coming up in just a few weeks' time, really. Now, on to this week's event. It's a biggie, the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. I've seen the course, Ewan, and it looks in sparkling shape. It's just a monster event.
I think this is one of the great events of the European Tour. You could argue that over in Dubai, there's some very fine events there as well. But it's just a wonderful place to play golf. It's an iconic golf course, the West Course. It's a tough test. Big prize fund and a great field.
Well, Alex Noren defends the title he won 12 months ago after the Swede shot a stunning final round. It was stunning, 62, to come from seven shots behind to win on the famous Surrey course. And no one will forget the second shot he hit into that 18th hole.
Now, I guess it was lost a little bit because he finished 2 hours before the final group. But that's how good that final round was. And you knew as soon as the ball was in the air for the second shot, I think I'm right in saying it was a four-iron, you knew it was a contender for shot of the year.
And of course, before we get to the serious nature of Thursday in the first Rolex event of the year, we have the Priam on the Wednesday, star-studded. Pep Guardiola amongst those playing. He's had a great year.
Oh, he enjoys a bit of golf. I met him at the Irish Open last year when he played in the Priam with Rory McIlroy. And when he's not organising the midfield and the strikers and the defence, he's never happier than when he's got the clubs in the hands.
And I know on your Sony Walkman, Ewan, you've got Rudimental and Simple Minds on there. Which one do you listen to most?
Oh, Jim Kerr, Simple Minds, right up my street. Just from my era, that is.
That's superb, yeah. And as we said, it is a Rolex Series event. $7 million is the minimum prize fund. And all seven winners so far of the first run of Rolex Series events, Alex Noren, Tommy Fleetwood, Rafa Cabrera-Bayer, John Rahm twice, Tyrrell Hatton, Brandon Grace and Justin Rose all came from inside the top 30 in the world rankings. But the course, Ewan, it's been tinkered with over the years. Hopefully now they've got it kind of settled.
Well, they've changed the grass, which I think will make a big difference. How long that lasts, I always think the indigenous grass always seems to come back at some point. But like you, I had a glimpse of it last week, just after I got home from the players, and it was magnificent.
Four greens, the 8th, 11th, 14th and 16th, were completely rebuilt, and the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 13th and 15th greens were partially rebuilt. It's very difficult to, you know, sort of file away the greens and designs on a golf course and get it just right the first time you do it.
For sure. It'd be like touching in a Rembrandt. It'd be a very difficult thing to do, but I think they've made a great job. I think one or two of the first changes were much too severe. They've realised that and they've softened these areas. I would like to see just a bit more space at 18 because I think part of the fun at Wentworth was the fact you could finish with two eagles or you could finish with two sevens.
And the course is 7,284 yards long, which back in the day was a monster.
It was. I remember the first PGA I played in. It was back in 1972. I think Tony Jacklin was the champion then. It was called the Viella PGA, and a great pal of mine, Howard Clark, won there in 84. These were very long courses then. When you look at that nowadays, you think, well, that's 7,300 under. I think we could well see a 63 or a 64 this week.
We could do, because it is in superb condition. Give us a clue who's playing you, and I mean, it's a star-studded field.
Well, there's plenty of Ryder Cup hopefuls, for sure. Tommy Fleetwood, Casey, I was saying earlier, they're playing for the first time in 5 years. Tyrrell Hatton's been up and down. I think it's very difficult to match the PGA Tour and the European Tour. I think he'll now be home for pretty much most of the summer, certainly the Rolex Series. We may see the best of him. Defending champion Alex Noren, Rafa Cabrera-Bayer, you mentioned earlier, Poulter is back. I think everyone will be thrilled for that. And when you think we're going to get 25 to 30,000 fans each day there, I think a lot of them will be in to see Poulter.
Every time you see Ian Poulter on the golf course, if you think glass half empty, glass half full, it's always glass half full. Always.
Ross Fisher came through the academy, the junior academy for Whitewell, so he'll have plenty of support there. And a home week for Ross, living over by Sheem and Sutton, that area. Alex Levy, a winner this year. And I think Thomas Peters might be a man to watch on this golf course. He'll be a little annoyed he didn't go the full distance last week. A great talent, and I expect him to have a good week. And I also expect Brandon Grace to have a good week. 9 under par in the last round of the Barton Nelson, and one or two of the other international players there. Hai Tong Lee, Dylan Fratelli from South Africa, and Shane Lowry, who's got a very good record over the West Coast.
The amazing thing is, anyone, you know, someone can win this week who you haven't really considered as a Ryder Cup runner, and all of a sudden they're in the picture.
Oh, for sure.
You know, from nowhere.
And if you were to play well this week and next week in Italy, you could all of a sudden go from nowhere into the top four or five.
Yeah, it's going to be it's great pressure. I mean, there's pressure in making your card, there's pressure in making the cut, but this is great pressure trying to win a tournament like this to get into a Ryder Cup side, because it's all positive. So looking forward to seeing our best players go toe to toe on what is a really good test of golf, the West Course at Wentworth.
And also. For your attention.
Yes.
We have a quartet of former world number ones teeing it up at the West Coast. And of course, you'll know who they are.
Well, you say that. Obviously, I know Rory. That's a simple one. And Lee Westwood, that's two.
Well, you're 50% there.
I know, but I've been thinking about the other two and I can't think. Ernie Els.
That is, you've now got 75%.
75%. I've got to find one more. Is Ian Woosnam playing?
It wasn't Ian, was it?
No.
It wasn't Jose Maria Olazabal. I mean, I know you're going all the way back now, but you seem to be missing one.
I know, I can't get it.
Amazed you can't get it.
Yeah, can't
so
get it.
So simple.
Go on, it's simple when you know. Go on.
Well, he stood over
at
Medina many years ago, back in 2012, and it was a very important putt he knocked in.
Martin Kaymer.
I thought you'd forgotten Medina for a minute then.
No. I was thinking of Ian Poulter with his finish, but it was Martin Kaymer.
It was Martin Kaymer.
Yeah.
You're right. Well done. All four.
Well, I wouldn't say I exactly got all four, but, you know, I went with your little competition, your silly little competition. I went along with it. So four former world number ones, and, of course, the one that sticks out right now is Rory.
Yes, up and down. An amazing win. I was at Bay Hill when he won there, and he took that course by the scruff of the neck over the last half dozen holes, and in the end, wiped the floor with everyone. And then the next thing, Players' Championship, just not there. So we're in the same position with McIlroy as we've been for the last year or so. It's either very good or it's not so good.
Predictions, Ewan, because, you know, you're having a little, you know, a soft pop at me because I went for Peters and Otegi and plucked out the winner. So you've got now your chance to show us who you're going to go for this week.
I don't do soft pops. That
was
a hard one.
Okay. Hard pop.
Well, you know, I was talking about Thomas Peters there, and I think Thomas is a wonderful player. I think he needs a bit of work in his temperament. I think he's a fantastic player. So I'm going for Casey.
Are you? Very good. And who's your player beyond the top 50?
I'm going for Casey because he played some of the best golf I've ever seen in winning the match play, the HSBC match play.
At Wentworth?
At Wentworth. Yep. I think it was 2009. And I just have a feeling Casey will enjoy being back home in the spring sunshine, the home fans. And I also think it will be the same for Chris Paisley.
Well, of course, it's his home, Paul Casey, this area. When
Absolutely, he's
not in America, this is where he's home.
Well, Fox Hills. He came through the Fox Hills Junior Academy. We're talking about Ross Fisher coming through the Wentworth one. So I think these boys will be very happy to be home. Fisher and Casey, I would think, will have a good week. You were on about the second one. I've already given it to you.
Chris Paisley.
Yes, I'm very impressed. He did very well with Tommy Fleetwood over in New Orleans.
Yeah, Zurich. I think they finished fourth in that team event.
They did.
And he held a pitch at the last, and Tommy Fleetwood gave him a lovely little peck on the cheek.
Yeah.
Thanks, partner.
I'm thinking Paisley's ready for the next step up.
Well, my picks, and I thought you were going to nick him, because he was the host last week, Thomas Peters, and I before the tournament started properly on Thursday morning, on the Wednesday in the practice round, I saw Thomas Peters in the Pro-Am hit a 3-iron onto what was the 17th green, and it became the 8th in the 9-hole knockout that just couldn't be bettered by anybody in the world. Nobody could hit a better 3-iron onto a rock-hard par 5 green that was tiny than he hit there. So for that reason, and the shots I saw him hit at the Callaway Day, I'm going for Thomas Peters.
Just get to your pick. I don't need the full story.
OK, so it's Thomas Peters, and my second pick from beyond the top 50 last year's Race to Dubai is Andrew Beef Johnston.
Oh, no, that's not a bad pick.
No, you see?
I wish I'd thought of that one.
Yeah, I don't think you took him into consideration.
I'll tell you who I did take into consideration was Shane Lowry.
Yes. And also the two Spanish boys, Adrián, who won last week, and Jorge Campillo, they're playing some wonderful stuff. And
yeah.
And it might... Do you know what? There's just so many good players. It's very difficult.
You know, when I was playing, you probably get a handful, maybe more, maybe a dozen players that you think, well, the winner will come from one of them. Yeah. Nowadays, you look at virtually the whole field. They're all capable.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And Wentworth does sometimes throw up some surprises. It does.
And also inspires players. And I remember Simon Cairns' victory there was splendid. Anders Hansen was another one. Scott Drummond was another one. Up against the best players on one of the toughest courses, and yet they came through. And that's evidence that the Tour has strength in depth.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That's it for now. Next week, we will review the BMW PGA Championship and look ahead to the second successive Rolex Series event, the Italian Open. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest European Tour news on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat via europeantour.com or by downloading the official app. And don't forget to rate and review it on iTunes. But for now, from Ewan Murray, who's gone for?
I wish I'd gone for Larry, but I've gone for Casey.
And?
And I've gone for Chris Paisley.
And myself, Robert Lee, who has gone for Andrew the Beef Johnston, and last week's host, Thomas Peters. Bye for now.